This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Everybody, welcome in. Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what is, man, it is a beautiful Thursday afternoon and a big news day. It is official. Hugh Freeze announcing today that Peyton Thorne is indeed the starting quarterback for the Tigers and saying he is the starter for the opening game against UMass. He wouldn't guarantee that he's going to be the starter for all 12 games, but he has done enough. And he is the man. Robbie Ashford is number two. Holden Garner is the number three quarterback. So big news coming out today with Hugh Freeze meeting with the media before Auburn practicing, and they're practicing right now. And the media is going to get an opportunity to head out and watch some of that practice in just about 15 minutes or so. So following that, I'll head back to the station, give you a little report of what we see here at practice, but no question, that is the big news of the day. You know, there'd been talk. I'd heard a lot of talk over the last week. Well, so many schools in both schools in the state of Alabama not knowing who their starting quarterback is. Hugh Freeze said he was sure that Peyton Thorne was his starting quarterback going into the scrimmage Saturday. Said he was a little stressed on Saturday, but that didn't prevent him from making the decisions. And Robbie Ashford has had an outstanding fall and really had a good scrimmage on Saturday. But Peyton Thorne has done enough. He said he goes with his gut. His gut's been pretty good for him in the past. And that is what told him to go ahead. It's time to go ahead and let everyone know. The team knows, he says, but let everyone know that Peyton is the man as Auburn's starting quarterback.
That's Bill Cameron on the on-location embedded journalist. Bill Cameron is on-site at the Walt on campus. 3 o'clock or so, Hugh Freeze had a press conference. First order of business, Hugh Freeze confirm. Well, actually, that's not true. The first order of business was it sort of started on a somber note, right? Hugh Freeze mentioning the acknowledging the passing of, was it the, it's a grandparent of Zykevious Walker? And also,
yes, he said.
Yeah, and also Bruce Pearl's father, who passed away yesterday as well.
Right, Bernie Pearl passing away yesterday, and he said Zay Walker's grandmother passed away as well yesterday. So, a sad note there to begin, and he was going to go ahead and go to questions. And of course, the first question was, "It's been reported that," and he goes, "Only 4 guys knew that. It's amazing how it got out." But yes, he confirmed and didn't have any problem doing so. And talking about how hard all 3 of his quarterbacks have worked, and saying Peyton has consistently done what he needed to do to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, the compliments, the praise for Robbie Ashford and Holden Garner, I thought was noteworthy. But the story today is Peyton Thorne. Auburn's new starting quarterback. And I understand people are wondering about Robbie Ashford and if we could still see him in certain packages, what his role could be. Is he going to be more of a traditional backup quarterback who doesn't play unless the starter is unavailable or the game is out of hand or things like that? Are they going to try to get Robbie and Holden playing time? I understand those questions, but to me, especially after spending last year expecting Zach Calzada to win the job all offseason and then to have it fizzle out in fall camp the way it did. This is one where, you know, we suspected, and some folks, I would say more than suspected, that Peyton Thorne was going to win the starting job eventually. I think this is earlier than folks thought this thing would be decided and made official by Hugh Freeze. And to me, that is a testament to the kind of player Auburn is getting in their new starting quarterback, Peyton Thorne, who has multiple years as a starter in the Big Ten. You know, I think one key difference is Robbie's never really spent an offseason in college football as a team starting quarterback, right? Like, this is the closest thing to that And even then, it was a competition all spring under a new coaching staff with TJ Finley and Holden Gurner. Peyton Thorne has been a starter all offseason for a team before. And when you think about the compliments we heard about Peyton Thorne from Luke Deal at Media Days, the stuff, the professionalism keeps getting mentioned, and not to mention on field, the way Peyton Thorne plays and has played in the past, it seemed like, I mean, the way I've been describing it, Bill, Peyton Thorne profiles as a step in and start right away quarterback, and that's in fact what Auburn is getting, because he's going to start the opener against UMass.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there are a couple of things you were talking about. It's a it's a tribute to Peyton Thorne. I'll tell you what, I credit Hugh Freeze. He knew who his guy is. He's not going to try to be coy and play games with teams. Hey, his team knows who it is. There's no reason. He is much more transparent than any coach we've been around in a long, long time. And he said, it's time. But, I mean, he did say, he talked about Robbie. He said Robbie is the most freakish athlete he's ever had at quarterback, and there has to be a package for him. He said regardless of whether, where he is, there is a package for Robbie Ashford, just because of some of the things he can do, the dimension he adds. And he says, but when he's in there, there has to be the threat of the passing game to it. Can't just be run. He said, Robbie makes some passes better than he does others. He's working on everything. So you're going to see some of Robbie. We don't know how much. It'll be interesting there in the opener against UMass to see how much we see of Robbie. But Peyton is the man. And he said, he's told the guys it's tough to do, but now it's going to be very important to see how they handle this news. He said he hopes they just get to work.
There was a question specifically about the transfer portal, right? And Hugh Freeze talked about it. I just hope everybody shows up for work. And I guess you can take from that when the season's over, evaluate your situation. Decide for yourself what's best for you, as every college football player does now after every season. But until then, be part of the team, right? Show up for work, and you never know what happens. We've seen teams play three quarterbacks before.
Yeah, he talked about it. Yeah, he talked about last year playing four quarterbacks last year. Lost his starting quarterback on the first series of game one to a broken hand. Went to number two. Number two got hurt. He went to number three. He went to number four for one ball game. So he said, you've got to be ready. You've got to keep working. You never know, and you may get that opportunity. He didn't use the Wally Pipp. He may get Wally Pipped, but he said, if you take advantage of the opportunity, you may not go back to the bench. That's his message right now.
For the kids out there who don't know Wally Pipp, Bill,
kids don't know who Wally Pipp is.
How about
you? May not know who Wally Pipp is.
I'm
sure he does.
Tom Brady is probably your more contemporary example, right?
The
backup who took a job over because of injury and never gave it back because Drew Bledsoe. People, even that was 20 plus years ago. Like I say, the more recent example.
There are a lot of kids that would never have any idea that Tom Brady was never anything but the starter.
There once was a quarterback named Drew Bledsoe, and he was entrenched as the starter in New England. And then one day he got hurt, and Tom Brady took over, and he started for the next 20 years and became the greatest player in the history of the NFL. Anyway,
that's right.
So
Wally Pipp story, by the way, that guy's a Hall of Famer too. Yeah, Lou Gehrig turned out all right.
Yeah, so I would say that's a staying ready, showing up for work. I thought was a good message from Coach Freeze, and was trying to stay positive while acknowledging, it could be tough. And I think he spoke more in generalities about this, Bill, but it's going to be tough to keep this quarterback room together through all of their graduations, probably, right? That's college football now. And
no question. That's tough anywhere.
Yeah. So he didn't talk about long term. He just said, come to work and see what happens, which is a positive message. What did he cite as far as how Peyton won the job? Was there anything that stood out to you in his answer? Because I know, folks understandably have questions about Holden and Robbie, but to me, like the story is Peyton Thorne, and I'd love to know what Hugh Freeze cited as far as how Peyton Thorne took over this position.
Just his understanding, his knowledge, his leadership, I think, and his ability. I mean, it's just a combination. He's got what you want in a starting quarterback, and he has what Hugh feels is the right thing. He did say that he wanted to look at the film because they really stressed him in the scrimmage, and Robbie had an outstanding scrimmage. But he still feels that overall, and now he wants to see how Peyton reacts to being the starting quarterback. That's what he's going to be looking for in practice starting today and into the scrimmage on Saturday.
And the receivers came up, right? I believe he named some names in the receiver rotation at the moment. The four transfers, Javarius Johnson, Camden Brown, despite the injuries, was another receiver.
Well, Camden was like number eight on his list.
But the first, I believe the first name, and I don't remember the exact phrasing of the question, but the first name was Jay Fair.
Well, yeah, he said Jay and Var were the first two he mentioned. Then he mentioned the four big guys, which are Nick, Jair,
Shane Hooks,
and
with Amari Kelly.
Who was the other? Oh, well, Amari Kelly.
Yeah.
And then he said, and Caleb Burton inside as well. So those were your seven. Then he said Camden Brown was back at practice yesterday and was able to do some things. And then he said, as a matter of fact, when he was done and was walking off, he was asked, well, how many do you think you're going to be able to play? How many will you play? And he said, seven or eight. So right now Camden Brown's trying to get into that seven. He's probably number eight. I'd say Malcolm Johnson and Coy Moore are trying to get in there because they've been the guys that have missed the most time.
I tell you what, my advice to the receivers in a situation where seven or eight guys are playing is you need to make the most of your touches, right? Like that.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean maybe they play seven or eight all season long, but that's a lot of snaps to divvy up between, even if you're going to play multiple receivers, like that's still a lot of snaps to share with that many players. So Yeah, so some interesting stuff from Coach Freeze today, including the headline and one of the biggest stories in sports at the moment. If you look around national and international news services, Auburn deciding on a starting quarterback. Peyton Thorne will start the opener in just a couple of weeks against UMass. You can hear that on Wings 94.3 and here in the Auburn-Opelika area. We're thrilled that Auburn football, Auburn men's basketball, and Tiger Talk is soon, isn't it? Are we a week away?
Tiger Talk is next Thursday.
Thursday, the maiden broadcast of Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3. So we're thrilled to have thrilled to have everybody involved. Brad Law going to be part of that team as always. Got to talk to Andy earlier this week. Auburn.
Yeah, Andy. A matter of fact, was talking about. I mean, next week is a special event that will be here at the Walt. And then the following week, I guess that would be the 31st, game week, they'll start their regular Thursdays at Baumhauer's.
Oh, very cool. So next week on site on campus, and then they're going to be
right
at the usual. Oh, very, very cool. So don't miss Tiger Talk a week from today here on the Auburn Network. Wings 94.3, your home for Auburn football, Auburn men's basketball, and Tiger Talk this season. Bill is on campus at the Walt. A media viewing window going to get started in
It's coming up. Everybody's gathering. Right,
everybody's gathering around. So I tell you what, we're going to go to break. When we come back, might talk a little bit more about the quarterback situation. Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. What are your thoughts on Peyton Thorne winning the job? Expectations for Peyton Thorne this season. Bill, is the plan that after the window you're going to come in?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
so,
I should be in. I mean, should be there right around the top of the hour.
Okay, very cool. So hopefully Bill Cameron in hour number two. Looking forward to that. Enjoy the viewing window, Bill. Stay cool, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey, it's a lot cooler than it's been. It's not too bad.
Yeah, very, very, very true. So Bill Cameron on campus. He will join us later in the show. In the meantime, 334-321-1390, the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love to hear from you on the day Auburn decides on its starting quarterback, at least in the season opener. It's going to be the Michigan State transfer Peyton Thorne beating out last year's starter for most of the season, Robbie Ashford, and the second-year freshman Holden Gerner. So it's a big day, big news day in Auburn, and folks who, I mean, I guess the question now is what do you expect out of Peyton Thorne? What do you think this offense is capable of? With still some question marks, some variables. But we will see. But I'd love to know how people are feeling about what this what this offense might look like. We might play those Hugh Freeze remarks, too, because I do think he said some stuff people should hear, and I'm pretty sure we have access to that. 334-321-1390. We will take a break. We will be back with more. You are listening to the Thursday episode of The Drive.
Get set. The inaugural 390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. The Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls, the capable one. And Bill Cameron is currently watching football practice, so we will hear from Bill a little bit later in the show. He's going to come into the studio and tell us about what he got to see with the rest of the media in the Walt and in the attached practice field that they have there at the new football complex on campus. Big news today as Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze confirms the news regarding Auburn starting quarterback situation. Peyton Thorne, the Michigan State transfer, beating out last year's starter for much of the season, Robbie Ashford, in a competition that, I mean, in our limited look at the team this fall, it seemed like they were splitting the reps pretty evenly between Robbie Ashford and Peyton Thorne when the team would drill, especially when they would divide into situations where it looked like they were running with the first team. And there was a lot of rotation going on in the viewing windows, but it felt like there was still very much an evaluation going on. We don't see all of practice. We don't see any of the scrimmage. And there's a lot of other things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. So the news leaking out last night that Peyton Thorne would be named the starter imminently. The confirmation coming this morning from a couple of the subscription services, who I think all posted stories right around the same time, and then national news services following, and then Hugh Freeze confirming it at the press conference about an hour ago that Robbie Ashford will be the backup and Peyton Thorne will be the starter when Auburn takes the field in just a couple of weeks against UMass. And I'd love to know, how people are feeling. It's the most expected outcome, I would say, knowing, having watched Robbie with the good and the bad last year, I think Holden seemed like a big underdog the entire time just because of his lack of experience, although Hugh Freeze went out of his way to compliment the offseason that Holden Gurner has had and his accuracy and his passing ability, and just said that it's experience and mental reps and things that will come as he gets older, but acknowledging that Holden Gurner, I think he even said, and I know he said this earlier in the offseason, that he felt like he had three quarterbacks he could win with right now. It's just a matter of who gave the team the best chance of winning in the minds of his coaches. And with the announcement today, the decision is at least to begin the season, Peyton Thorne, the Michigan State transfer, is the quarterback that gives Auburn the best chance at winning in the eyes of the coaching staff early on. Now that, as Bill mentioned, Liberty had a plan for a starting quarterback, and he got injured in the first series of the season. And they had to go to, and I think he was out for the rest of the season. I forget exactly how that story goes. Maybe he came back later. It was a broken hand. So it seems like that'd be a tough thing to bounce back from quickly as a quarterback. You need those. But you need more than one, just about everywhere in college football, but especially at the quarterback position. It's a luxury when you have the same starter all season long, and he doesn't. I mean, I'd be interested to know the numbers on that, on how often injury makes a starting quarterback unavailable in college football these days, or how often one guy starts for a team all season long. I know performance can also decide whether or not a quarterback is out there, so it's multiple factors at play. But at least for the start of the season, Auburn-UMass, Peyton Thorne, the dual. I mean, I guess dual threat would be one way of describing him. I think it was Camden Brown talked about how fast he was last week and mentioning one of the surprising things about watching the three quarterbacks play. But this is a guy who, I keep thinking, you start that many games in college football when you're right around 30 starts, which is where Peyton Thorne entered the competition at, having played two seasons and I think a little bit of a third season at Michigan State in his career. To have that kind of experience at the Big Ten level, to me, it's an advantage that it was going to be really tough for any Auburn quarterback to overcome. Any of the quarterbacks from last year's team to try to overcome, because Peyton Thorne entered with, I mean, you look at his numbers. I made this point when he signed with Auburn. Peyton Thorne's numbers as Michigan State's quarterback are remarkably similar to Jarrett Stidham's numbers at Auburn. In Jarrett Stidham's two seasons, and Stidham won, I believe it was 18 games in 2 years, including that 2017 season, the 2017 season is one of the better Auburn seasons of the last two decades, right? I mean, it's not at the top. I mean, Auburn has conference championships, but 2017, I know the ending, but to me that was hard to argue with the success of much, if not most, of that season. And Stidham at the center of it. Granted, he had some help from a run game. Kerryon Johnson, one of the best players in the conference that season, but I would point out that Peyton Thorne had an excellent run game at Michigan State, and it resulted in an 11-win season. So Peyton Thorne has shown that when the things around him are right, he can win a lot at the major conference level. And that's a level of experience that no one else on the Auburn team has shown to this point. I know Robbie is still early in his career. Peyton Thorne, Holden Gurner hasn't played very much at all, but that seemed, if you wonder why did people think Peyton Thorne came into this as the favorite and in some folks' minds the sizable favorite. It's not just that Hugh Freeze went out and selected him from the portal, although it probably is noteworthy that with all the quarterbacks, and we know Auburn apparently tried on a couple others and it didn't work out, but when Auburn decided to, that Peyton Thorne was the answer, that's an indication that the coaching staff, had a preference for him because he was a guy they hand-selected out of the portal. But beyond that, the experience that Peyton Thorne has coming in, it provided him an advantage that it seemed like it was going to be tough for Robbie or Holden to do enough to outshine that. And sure enough, Peyton Thorne, relatively early in fall camp, has shown himself to be, in the eyes of the coaching staff, the best quarterback on the team for now and the guy who gives Auburn the best chance to win to start the 2023 season. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to play Hugh Freeze when we come back, because we do have that audio. So we're gonna take our bottom of the hour break. Bill Cameron joins us in hour number two, tells us about what he saw from the fall practice. He was there. He's there right now observing Auburn practice as we get closer to the start of the 2023 season. Dan Peck in the studio. We will be back. This is The Drive. Welcome back. Hour number one coming to a close here on a Thursday on The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Drew at the controls. Bill watching practice right now. The window might be over. I don't know. He's going to join us here in the studio in hour number two. No Justin Ferguson today. It's a busy day. We're going to try to get Justin tomorrow for some thoughts on the headlines in recent days. No guarantees, but see if we can find some time for Justin Ferguson on tomorrow's show. 334-321-1390, the Kia of Auburn hotline. You want to jump in? And let's get to Jerry, who's on the line. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Dan. you wanted expectations for our new quarterback.
Yeah. What are you thinking about the news, and what are you hoping or slash expecting to see out of Peyton Thorne?
I'm encouraged. The main thing is, do not turn the ball over. Go to the line of scrimmage, make good reads about the coverages, and run the ball. And if you run the ball, then it opens up the play action package.
When they ran the ball at Michigan State, he had a season with running back Kenneth Walker, who ended up, he was one of the top running backs in the country in 2021. And in that season, Michigan State ran the ball extremely well, and Peyton Thorne was able to do enough to lead Michigan State to an 11-win season. And so,
that's,
I mean, there's
good.
And I looked up a couple of months ago, and Peyton Thorne's win-loss record when he had, I think it was I forget the exact number, but it was either 125 or 150 rushing yards. Like, his win-loss record career when Michigan State had that, and it's, you know, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 12 or 13 wins and two or three losses, right? And so I thought, well, let's look up Stidham. And Stidham, when Auburn ran for 150 yards, Stidham was, it was like 14-1 or something in 15 games in that situation. So I do see similarities in, if they get the help they need, they've shown, in this case it's Peyton Thorne, he's shown that he's capable at his position. If everyone can step up and do their jobs too.
Yeah, and our running back room is probably the strongest part of our team.
It seems like it. I mean, the depth Auburn has, I mean, if you think about a guy like Jeremiah Cobb potentially being a fourth stringer, right, and that's a freshman who could still have a role in the offense. I mean, Cadillac Williams was talking about you're not gonna be able to keep all of that talent off the field at running back. But with Jarquez, with Brian Battee, and with the offseason that Damari Alston has had, you know, he's become one of the most talked about guys. And Damari Alston had 14 carries last year, and he's become one of the most talked about players on the team with what he's done in the offseason and the way his teammates and coaches have cited the offseason he's had and the way he's looked, not just in this last 2 weeks of fall camp, but throughout the offseason. And so, yeah, it sounds like running back is a spot where Auburn is as blessed as 1 through 4, 1 through 5. Sean Jackson's on scholarship too. Everybody, whenever we list the running backs, I should point this out, Jerry. Whenever we list the running backs and we talk about like the first three or the first four guys, there will always be someone, you know, a player or a coach who reminds you, you know, don't forget about Sean Jackson, you know, who might be insurance because you have other guys that are ahead of him on the depth chart, but is somebody they feel like could step in and play a huge role if needed for a team like this. So, yeah, I think you're on the right track. I think we're pretty close in what we think of what Auburn is getting in Peyton Thorne, and it remains to be seen if they can actualize it on the field. Great stuff, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call. Hour number two on the horizon. 334-321-1390. What are you expecting out of this Auburn offense? We got more Hugh Freeze. We can play in hour number two as well. Love to hear from you. Don't go anywhere. It's The Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Been a long week for all of us. I know Hugh Freeze had to take a long pause and do some math in his head, but yeah, the Thursday edition of The Drive, as we get closer to, I mean, it's going to be game week in, Drew, we're doing like six shows after this one, and then we're doing six shows. We got one tomorrow, we got five next week, and then it's going to be a Monday game week show. And the energy is building. It's a cool feeling around Auburn. And today, biggest day of the fall camp so far, as Hugh Freeze talking to the media and confirming that Auburn has a starting quarterback, Peyton Thorne, the Michigan State transfer, has beaten out Robbie Ashford and Holden Gurner. We suspected earlier in the week that Holden Gurner had fallen behind in the competition, was running drills with the twos while the others took turns with the first team. Now Peyton Thorne, the new starting quarterback, and as Hugh Freeze mentioned later in the press conference that we've been playing throughout the show, he will work Peyton Thorne with the ones exclusively, I think was the way he described it. You know, this is going to be it's going to be about getting Peyton Thorne ready to lead this offense in 2023. And while Robbie Ashford and Holden Gurner are important to the team because depth at quarterback is important, at the moment, you know, the performance of Peyton Thorne is going to be a huge factor in what kind of season Auburn has and what this offense looks like. And Auburn with, we were talking about it earlier, yesterday, we mentioned that Auburn has a 5-week stretch, including the bye week, where they play four teams ranked in the top 25. I can't imagine very many people in college football drew that before the season started. You got the it's A&M and Georgia, followed by the bye week, and then LSU and Ole Miss. The games against A&M and LSU will be on the road. It's imperative that Auburn use, and a game at Cal isn't a scrimmage. That's a Pac-12 team that has a lot to play for and would love to knock off an SEC team coming in from the other side of the country. But you know, it's imperative Auburn try to get this thing rolling at full speed before they run into that gauntlet, that 4-game stretch where, I mean, Auburn could be, I mean, at the moment, Auburn would be considered the underdog in all four. That's not to say Auburn can't win any one of those games. But this is a time now where I think Auburn is, you know, they're going to be trying to really figure out who the starters are, what this team needs to look like, and then try to get reps for those guys to get the team at full power. Hour number two of the drive brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. You can call the show on the Key of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, or you can text the show, 334-564-1840. That's the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center podcast of The Drive, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Speaking of Bill Cameron, he got to watch practice. I presume he's on his way to the studio, but in the meantime, he is on the phone. Let's get to Bill, who is on the line. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, Dan. I mean, hey, look, I don't know if you're proud of me or think what a dummy I am, but yeah, Coach Freeze came by while we were standing out there just watching a few of the drills, and he said, look, you guys can stay around as long as you want, as long as you don't video. So I left. I left in the middle of 7-on-7s that are going on right now, and there are quite a few folks that are getting to stay out there. I mean, he was just that's the one thing he was adamant about. Somebody ran a little video recently, and he just doesn't want video of drills. He doesn't mind individuals and things like that. But I have to admit, I made a big mistake. I hope I'll be forgiven. You know what I did?
What did you do, Bill?
Well, I stepped outside the door and realized I still have.
Oh, you took your name tag with you?
Pass. Yeah.
Oh no, that's okay. As long as you don't lose it, that's okay. If you bring it back the next time you're there, yeah, they just don't want to have to keep doing new ones. You know what I mean?
So, oh, I know.
I think for someone like you, I think you can hold on to your name tag and it'll be okay. I'll know.
Well, I think they'll know if it's me or not. If somebody else is wearing my name tag, I think they'd have an idea.
I'll put word into Riley Hubbard that your name tag is accounted for. All right, and make sure nobody. Bill, if you want to stay and watch some more 7-on-7s, I mean, I hate to drag you.
I'm in the car now. Once I'm outside, you can't get back in because there's nobody there to open the door. So I'm sort of stuck right now. But yeah, I mean, it was really nice. That's one of the we've talked about this. Just having more opportunities. And Coach Freeze was asked about that at the conference, at the press conference, when he, you know, after he talked about Peyton Thorne being the starter, he was asked about the media opportunities during the season, and he said, you know, it may just depend week to week. But he doesn't mind a lot of the time, and it's funny, you could see Kirk and Shelley sort of going, oh my goodness. But he doesn't mind as long as you're not videoing them running plays or things like that. So no, I was really, really, gracious of him on a pretty pleasant afternoon watching Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford getting the bulk of the snaps. As a matter of fact, when I left, they'd run four series and they were then going to switch over and Holden Gurner was going to get to run a series there on 7-on-7. But some nice catches. One of the things that Hugh had talked about the other day after the scrimmage, he was really disappointed. Boy, I asked him about it today, and he said he was sick to his stomach when he watched the film because he said there were so many lopes he felt where the players weren't going 100%. And that's something you don't think about that. But, boy, you can tell sometimes if a receiver's not involved in a play and you see him just sort of going through the motions. I think that's what one of the things he was talking about. But the guys look really good today while we were watching some really nice catches. Shane Hooks, nice to see Camden Brown out there snagging the ball. Jair Shorter, Rivaldo Fairweather. Boy, they do have some good-looking big guys who really snatch the ball well.
Catch radius, right, was that phrase that we kept hearing about, you know, the desire to not just have height or size the position, but be able to have, you know, guys that are capable of going out and getting it, you know, whether it's the vertical leap, whether it's getting the biggest possible stretch. Like that, there's a lot that goes into it, and Auburn has some guys they really like at doing that. To your point about, we actually played Hugh Freeze's answer to your question about the receivers, Bill, earlier in the show, and I think he cited 88 loafs. Right, was the scrimmage number?
Then he said, well, maybe not that many, but yeah.
Yeah, was an unscientific.
More than he wanted.
An unscientific guess, maybe, from Hugh Freeze about the number of loafs. But yeah, no, you could tell that was something. And on Saturday, right when we asked him about it, like it was clear, you know, he was unhappy with the possibility that effort was an issue, while also acknowledging that the whole team was struggling with the heat in the conditions on Saturday, and that's something else. You know, he mentions with a 2:30 opener, that's something you got to be ready for. Because it's coming no matter what. And
did you get to hear his answer to the question about the opening game being at 2:30?
I think we did play that. I think we played some of his. Yeah, we're talking about the need. You know, the conditioning of the team, or was there an answer later on? Where
he... No, he had an answer later on, and he said, "Look, it's a completely different thing because you've only got 11 at a time out on the field while the rest of the team is over." You know. With the fans and the misters, and he said, you know, and hopefully we're running 8-9 play drives where the defense is getting a chance to take a break. He said, but Saturday it was miserable because you had 22 out there at one time with nothing to really cool them off, and then the next 22, and it just was on and on and on. And he went on to say that he really hopes it's hot for the opener against UMass, that he quickly said, except for the fans, but I hope it's hot.
Yeah, I think you mentioned how there's a difference between being able to cool the team off, right? You know, there's play, you know, there's in a scrimmage or a practice situation, you can have certain guys out there in the heat and everyone else can go cool off. That's not the way it works on game day. And you know, granted, that's, you know, that's part of the reason why there's an off season and getting folks accustomed to this is part of the challenge. But it was some. Some enlightening stuff from Hugh Freeze. What did you see, if anything? Because I'm so, especially after Cadillac's remarks, like I'm so interested in how they work these running backs in, and what and granted, I guess there is a question about Jason Caldwell mentioned it yesterday, Bill. Like, yes, Jarquez Hunter is participating in practice. That doesn't mean that he is full go for the first game, and we really don't know about his status beyond that he missed a week or so of the of fall practice before rejoining the team. But it still seems like there's going to be something of a rotation. You know, that they're going to try to do a committee with these running backs, and I'd love to know sort of, you know, what's your read on how, you know, what you've seen from them, what it could look like, what are just news and notes about the running backs.
Well, I think Auburn is in a fortunate situation where they have at least three guys who you feel like are every down guys, probably four, because Brian Battee, even though he is not as big as the other guys, he's shown that he is tough. He's shown that the ability to run between the tackles when there's a crease there. So they don't have to have, you know, well, one guy if it's a passing situation, another guy if it's short yardage, another one on first down. So all four of them seem to really be getting even reps. While we were watching some of the passing drills, the 7-on-7 that they were doing, you know, when you just don't go with interior linemen on either side, they had the running backs mixing in with the receivers either in the slot or split wide. So, you know, we got to see a lot of Damari, Brian, and Jeremiah Cobb. The Jarquez was actually on the other side of the field, so I couldn't tell as much when he was in there. But, I mean, he's shown he can catch the ball too. So it's, again, something we talked about yesterday, the ability to have 11 guys on the field and have them line up in a lot of different positions without having to make substitutions.
Yeah, and there's remnants of what Gus Malzahn did for much of his Auburn career in this, because I think both Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery are associated with offenses where you might have a second running back on the field as a threat in the sweep or the, you know, the reverse, you know, those kind of, you know, guys who split out wide but still factor into the run game. You show that action, and I wonder, with a couple of intriguing slot receiver options plus running backs like Battee and Alston and Jarquez, if that could be something that they make defenses worry about on top of what they can do with the quarterback and the running back.
Yeah, it gives them the opportunity to go four wide without having to bring another receiver in.
Oh, especially if they feel like those running backs are real options in the passing game, right? Like if they feel like they can throw, you know, routes or even, you know, just have a, I mean, doing something that gets those guys involved as more than just options in the run game, I think would be really beneficial. And we've heard compliments about what the running backs are doing as part of the passing game. And for an offense that wants to throw it, it would help if you got contributions from those guys.
Yeah, the other thing that I'll tell you, just while being able to watch those four series of the 7-on-7, man, both Peyton and Robbie looked probably as good as I've seen him throwing the ball. He made an excellent back shoulder throw to, I believe it was Nick Mardner, about 25, 30-yard back shoulder pass, and looked much more comfortable on the shorter things. And Peyton Thorne is – you know, when he doesn't make a good throw, sometimes it's almost like, what happened? It may not have, you know, the looked like a rocket launched it, but it seems to just get there where it needs to when it needs to.
I would love a situation where Peyton Thorne is successful and productive all year long and declares for the NFL draft after the season, and Robbie Ashford, having benefited from a season in the system and working as the backup and learning the playbook from Coach Freeze and Coach Montgomery, working with Ken Austin, and he takes over as the starter after the season and has a great season next year. I think that's a possibility, right? Like, that's in play. Maybe it's the best case scenario or one of the best case scenarios on the board for Auburn, but that feels like a way this could play out potentially if the stars align for all parties involved.
Well, it's hard to say that wouldn't be a best case scenario, because if Peyton plays well enough to declare for the draft after this, and Robbie's pushing him and is the guy to step in, you'd think, no, it's been a pretty successful year for the quarterbacks, and that would mean for Auburn offensively. So, no, you're right. That's the optimal solution. Boy, one thing, even though I was saying the receivers look good catching the ball today and Hugh Freeze had said they'd look good in practice, did he really make a pitch during the press conference to top receiver prospects out there to come in and join Perry Thompson and the 24 class that's coming in?
He talked about it, didn't he? Like, I mean, it was, and that's not to sell. Like, no one in the receiver room right now should take that personally, but I can, it gives us a glimpse of what Hugh Freeze is telling the top receiver targets on the board for Auburn, right?
Oh yeah, he talked about it. It's been a long time. He didn't even know the last time Auburn had a 1,000-yard receiver, and pointed out his guys, one of whom is showing out in camp for the Patriots. I mean, and just that's what we're looking for here. So I mean, a straight up recruiting pitch there. He knows when the cameras and mics are on, and knows who could be listening.
And he knows how important top flight receiver play is for what you're trying to do this day and age in college football. I mean, we keep saying, like, there's any number of things you could point to, but I mean, the one of the common threads of the best teams these days is what they've got at wide receiver. And granted, it's not the only thing. Like, if all you've got is wide receiver, you're going to run into some trouble. But without it, it's harder than ever to be a good offense in college football.
Yeah, no question about it, because teams are going to stop you. No matter how good a running team is, if that's all you can do, teams are going to load up and they will at least slow you down and make it very uncomfortable, if not stop you.
Especially when you're playing the kind of teams that Auburn plays. Like, especially right. When, like, there are leagues, right, where maybe you could be a dominant running game. And if the right teams are on your schedule, that can be, that can be enough to win a lot with Alabama and Georgia and LSU and everyone else, right? Two other teams, what, three? Was Arkansas in the top 25 preseason?
No, I don't think they were. I think it was Ole Miss and A&M were.
Who do you think wins more games this year, Arkansas or A&M?
Ooh, I don't know.
I know it's tough.
Probably. I don't know. I Arkansas's quarterback running back combo is about as scary as you're going to find. But A&M's just, they have brought in a lot of talent, and Bobby Petrino's a great play caller. So I'd probably lean A&M, but sure couldn't guarantee it.
I'll tell you what's crazy is usually when Arkansas is scary at quarterback and running back, right? Like that means they're gonna be pretty good. Like that's been the history of Arkansas. Usually when they're scary at one position, they've been pretty good in their time in the SEC. But yeah, they got holes at other spots, and had to drastically remake two new coordinators. Travis Williams is doing a lot, but yeah, I don't know. Getting back to the point about Auburn, you can't be one dimensional anymore, and it sounds like Auburn's doing everything they can to avoid being one dimensional as an offense. Bill is on the way to studio. Yeah, he could be back with us before we when we return. We're going to take our first break of hour number two. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. You are listening to hour number two of The Drive.
Kia of Auburn welcomes you to the dog days of summer. It's hot, and so are our deals on Kias. For the month of August, we are featuring
AU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron in the studio. He'll join us in just a moment. He just got here. He was watching practice earlier today on the on campus for Auburn. Drew at the controls. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Bill, we mentioned it in the first hour. Next Thursday, your first edition of Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3, the Auburn Sports Network, here on the Auburn Network with Wings 94.3 and AU 100. Auburn football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk will be on Wings 94.3 here in the local area. Women's basketball and baseball will be on AU 100, and that gets going next week with Tiger Talk. Info at AUNetwork.com, by the way, if you are interested in participating in our presentation of the Auburn University or with the Auburn Sports Network. That's info@aunetwork.com. But yeah, that's an exciting time next week, and doesn't it feel like we're getting closer to football season?
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, once you name your starting quarterback, it's like, okay, let's play. Let's see him. I know the coaches want a little more time to get ready, but yeah, it feels like it's there. There really aren't that many questions, and I didn't mean, well, I did. I wanted to ask about places where there's competition, and I wanted to know sort of some positions where we're going to see quite a few players. Hugh Freeze said there are no battles in his mind for positions, because at every other position, he wants as many guys that can play as possible. He wants to be two or three deep everywhere so that he can play as many players as possible. We haven't heard that in a while, have we?
We have not, and I think Hugh Freeze also understands that's a great selling point on the recruiting trail, that you can get on the field if you have the ability to do so even very early in your career. Bill, I had a different question in mind, but off your answer there, how many true freshmen do you think people could see early in the season on this team?
I'd say double figures. Auburn signed 19. You know, obviously the guys that come to mind, I think are more defensively than offense. Jeremiah Cobb.
Let's start on defense.
All right, let's start on defense. Keldrick Faulk.
Oh, you think you're going to see Keldrick Faulk?
Keldrick Faulk, if not a starter, is going to play as much as anybody there at strong side defensive end.
You're not just going to see Keldrick Faulk.
No.
You're not going to miss. Like, you're not going to miss Keldrick Faulk if you're watching this team.
No, you're going to see him. I think in the secondary, we've seen Kai and Lee. We've heard so much talk about Colton Hood this fall. I think
Anthony a true freshman? How does that work?
He's a redshirt freshman, I believe, is the way it is.
Did he take a redshirt on the JUCO season?
No, I think he played. So I think he played. So
he might be a true sophomore.
I've got him listed as a sophomore.
Okay, but you know what? I'll lump him in there if you want.
He's a youngster who is in his first year at Auburn. Who I think you'll see. You're going to see a lot of these guys on special teams, I think, early because of the speed some of these guys have. I wouldn't be surprised both of the freshman safeties getting some playing time, especially on special teams. C.J. Johnson and Terrence Love, Sylvester Smith maybe as well. So quite a few guys defensively. Offensively, you know, you don't expect to see true freshman offensive linemen, although Connor Liu, he may play some.
Dylan Senda.
Yes.
Also a true freshman may play some on the offensive line. I think there's two. They're on the offensive line. They're technically, Senda didn't go through the spring with the team, but they're both true freshmen.
They were both in high school a year ago. That is absolutely right.
And I would think they could both be on the field on special teams and maybe even as backups. Would you have Dylan Senda on your two deep right now?
Yeah. Yeah, Dylan Senda, well, actually, I've got him number three at left guard because you got Jeremiah Wright and Tate Johnson battling. They're sort of like battling for one, and Dylan Senda's been working with the twos.
Do you think of Muskie and Tutol as the backup tackles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And then you know, whoever doesn't start from Jeremiah Wright and Tate Johnson is the backup of Dylan Senda and Jahlil Irvin. Jahlil Irvin's a guy that, you know, had been nearly forgotten, and all of a sudden now Jake Thornton and the players talking about how he has really had a good fall camp.
Yeah, and someone who is at the very least depth and maybe could be pushing for the chance to be more than that this season for Auburn.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Keith has been hanging on for a while. Hey, Keith.
Hey, yeah, I'm not so sure what y'all have talked about the last couple of days. I've had a 2-day stint with an orthopedic clinic, had a knee replacement.
Oh, man. Man.
Best wishes to you and yours, Keith.
Great. They are great at that. My wife had both of hers replaced at the same time and couldn't be more pleased. So good luck to you, man. It's not easy, but you're going to be glad you got that done.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And I guess I'll be tuning in with y'all every day for the next few weeks because it's going to slow me down a lot.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, which I'd try to do that anyway. But have y'all talked about the Auburn National Championship fishing tournament?
No, the Bassmaster guys, right? Like we mentioned there was a national championship in fishing that we mentioned, or they won a big prize earlier. It was either this year or last year. But no, we have not. You know what? I don't think we've mentioned the have you mentioned the women's golfer? Have we brought that up?
Megan either? Schofield?
Yeah. I mean, you got Megan who won the amateur.
The U.S. women's amateur.
U.S. women's right. amateur. And I'm glad you mentioned the fisherman, Keith, who I will, unless you have their names, I'll see if I can pull them up real quick.
I don't remember.
Auburn has some champions in a couple of different sports that we don't really talk about all that much here on the drive, but they're absolutely important accomplishments for those folks and for the university as a whole.
Yeah, that was a big accomplishment. Those guys, I think, had won the state championship together and the national championship.
Yeah, no kidding.
Great sport to be in.
I think I got Hayden Marbot and Tucker Smith are the Strike King Bassmaster College national champions. They won it. It was at Pickwick Lake, and they had a 3-day total of 53 pounds, 12 ounces. So congratulations to Hayden and Tucker, Auburn University students, champion. How about this? Are they Bassmasters? They champion Bassmasters? They are the Strike King Bassmaster College national champions.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. How long has it been since our offense dominated in the first scrimmage? I just don't remember it.
I feel like there was maybe one time when Gus made reference to that, and it was a year where Auburn's defense was supposed to have like one of the Derek Smith, Marlon Davidson teams, where it was like, hey, why is the offense having so much success on a team where the defensive line is supposed to be the signature strength? But it's uncommon, especially when there's been as much turnover as Auburn has experienced. And does it remain to be seen, Bill, if that's, you know, how much of that's...
Yeah, is it a concern defensively? Is it because maybe the offense was doing some things the defense hadn't been working against? I did hear that Ron Roberts was trying some stunts and blitzes to try to confuse the quarterbacks, which may have left them a little more vulnerable at times. So that may have had a little to do with it. But we did also hear that after the pace was called off, that the defense really dominated from that point. So maybe it was a little of both. But that's why Saturday scrimmage is really important.
Appreciate the phone call, Keith. How about this? We got to take a break. But Hayden and Tucker, the national champion anglers, mm-hmm. I've had someone now correct me, anglers. They were the subject of a Wall Street Journal story back in June, and the headline with Bill, Lore Eagle.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I like that one.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in the final half hour here on the Thursday Drive.
90. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Thursday. Bill and Dan and Drew at the controls. Yes, another day where we had plenty of access. As a matter of fact, some of the media is still out there. The folks with cameras left. The folks with notes, the folks taking notes stuck around. I mentioned it a while ago. Coach Freeze came walking by and said, no video, but stick around as long as you like without the video. And I had my depth chart and pen in my hand. He went, notes are just fine. So I said, well.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to stop anybody.
You know, I am radio. I'm not going to use video on the air.
Ferg and Nathan King and the guys, you know, they're frantically, you know, doing notes on their side too. Adam Cole, you know, the capable beat guys, and you're, of course, you know, you're keeping track of the Bill.
Who's
Cameron,
where?
Yeah, the
that's
Bill Cameron
right.
depth chart and noticing when someone's not out there.
It was good to see Camden Brown out there in full.
Yeah.
Now they weren't in full pads, but I mean they had the shells on. He was running full speed. Coy Moore was running full speed, but he still didn't have the shell on.
Right, and is Malcolm non-contact?
Malcolm didn't have the shell either.
Yeah, so right. Malcolm was the other one that they yep. talked about earlier in the week. I think when I was there on Tuesday, everyone but Malcolm was at least going through, maybe not full speed.
Yeah, I think Coy was supposedly walking through the other day. He was running. he was running today, but it was the non-contact kind of thing. There was a little bit of contact. When they were doing the 7-on-7, yeah. It was a little bit of contact.
I got a feeling from Marcus Davis earlier this week that, and I asked him the question about this, but he answered the way I thought he might, that Coy Moore, having been through multiple coaching changes and multiple offensive coordinators before, and this deep into his college football career, Coy Moore is somebody who can step in. And I mean, if he's got a physical setback, the moment that's over, he's going to be ready to step in and contribute. The mental aspect of it, the playbook aspect of it. Marcus made a comment about Coy being as advanced in that element of the receiver as anyone on the team. It's just a matter of getting physically ready. I know Hugh Freeze didn't name Coy Moore on his list of receivers. I think a lot of that's got to do with the physical status and Coy Moore not being available.
Oh yeah, no question.
We'll see, but that's what I would think.
The other thing is, you know, you think, and rightfully so, Caleb Burton, if Ohio State wanted him and he was highly touted as a receiver, he's probably pretty good. Same can be said about Coy Moore. LSU has a decent record of finding receivers.
And this is a guy, and again, it's at some point it was long enough ago that you don't hold on to that as a redeeming quality for the player. But Bill, he was on the field as a true freshman at receiver at LSU.
Yes.
Right? Like
that's what I mean. That's usually a pretty good sign. 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. I'm going to do something I hardly ever do. I'm going to bring up Major League Baseball. I had something come across my news feed about Ohtani and two hits he had in infield that he actually one to short and one to the third baseman, and he beat out the throws, you know?
Yeah, he's not slow either. I mean, that's the thing. What can he not, yeah. What can't he do?
I'm assuming he's Japanese, but I mean, where did this guy come from?
Well, look, here's the thing. If the aliens came down, he's the one athlete I'd say, hey, here's the reason mankind deserves another chance, right? Like, watch this guy go. No, it's what seemed impossible not all that long ago in Major League Baseball, right? The idea of one of the most impactful hitters also being an ace starting pitcher at the same time. Like one of the most impactful everyday hitters. And I know the NL didn't have the DH. I know there were pitchers that could hit.
Hey, there are folks that felt that if Ohtani was just an offensive player, he'd be one of the best outfielders in the game because of the arm, because of his speed, because just of his natural instincts for the game, they feel he could be, you know, one of the great right fielders because he can make that throw. And apparently he's just done it just messing around, throwing from right field fences to home plate on the fly.
There are two athletes where there are two athletes active right now, and Scott Cameron can who gets name dropped occasionally, your Scott can vouch for me on both of these guys, where it wasn't working out early in their pro careers. And some of it was injury, some of it was opportunity, but I would just watch them and I would say, this should be the best player in the sport. And sure enough, eventually things worked out. Ohtani was one of them. The other one was Derrick Henry, who I know it's cheating, right? I mean, if you saw him in Alabama, you'd know.
Right.
But like, go.
Well, if you'd heard about him setting national records in high school, you might have guessed.
But the first couple years at Tennessee, it was inexplicable. He was sharing carries with an inferior running back, and they were working in an offense that, like, it's almost like they didn't want to give him the ball, and it didn't make sense. And when he would occasionally get the ball, he would do incredible things. And yeah, it's but with Ohtani, Bill, I used to think, well, the pitching thing's a liability because he keeps getting hurt. He should just DH, and if he were just DHing, I think he'd still be among the most amazing, among the most amazing players in baseball, but he's also doing what he's doing as a pitcher and doing it at a. I mean, it used to be considered impossible what Ohtani is doing routinely now.
And he's got I think I read he's got 42 home runs this year.
Yeah, I know he's over 40.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Angels sort of decided they were going to go for it and add it at the deadline. They have not been winning since the trade deadline, and it's the playoff window is closing rapidly. Otani a free agent after the season. It just, I mean, it's not just about money. I think it's also about the opportunity that would be presented by other teams. And if maybe he's a loyal guy who's going to play for one team his entire Major League Baseball career, I just wonder if he cares about the other stuff enough to think this isn't an Angels team that's going to put enough around me to play in the biggest games and play for championships. And there will be teams, plural, there will be teams after Shohei Ohtani that could say, oh yeah, we'll give you every chance to win and win huge. And that's I think it's just gonna be too much. That and the money will be too much for Ohtani to turn down.
Okay, so I mean, how big is this guy, and which team, in you guys' opinion, because y'all know way
He's 6'3"? He's 6'3" or four.
What's the
Ohtani
listing
220.
These days?
I mean, yeah. he is a healthy guy. He is big. He's not a little guy.
Okay, now is he like Japanese American, Korean American? I mean,
no, he's Japanese.
I mean, there are tall Japanese people.
Oh,
I know what you mean, but no,
he is 6'4". He is officially listed at 6'4", and I know he's 215 for sure. I mean, he is a solid athlete.
Okay, I figured maybe
5'10", 5'11". No, he's an imposing figure at the plate and on the mound.
His mother was on the Japanese women's basketball team, like national women's basketball team, or played at a high level. Like I think both parents were high level Japanese athletes.
Okay. Now, in both of y'all's opinion, which team, I guess, could
Dodgers are the team to beat, and Dan smiles.
No, I mean, I think they're it sounds like the West Coast. Well, it sounds like the West Coast has had an advantage.
Seattle apparently has a shot because he spends a lot of the offseason there.
And I think the Giants would love to make a splash, and that's a market where a Japanese superstar would have an opportunity to. I mean, there's so much industry in the Bay Area. So I think the Giants, the Mariners, and the Dodgers would be your favorites, and maybe the Dodgers a little bit more likely than the other two.
Okay, well, I might pay a little bit more attention to Major League Baseball now because this guy's incredible.
Hey, there are a few really, really exciting young players in baseball right now.
Do you know who Ellie Dela Cruz is, Mitch?
No, okay, do not know.
Watch a Reds game if you get the chance sometime.
They are
soon.
Loaded with rookies. Well, I heard a stat last night. They are the first team in Major League history to have three rookies with double-figure homers and double-figure steals.
There's a shortstop. How old is he, Bill? Is he 19, 20?
He's 21,
20,
I believe.
21, okay. There's a shortstop.
6'6 shortstop that is a switch hitter with unbelievable speed and power.
There's a Reds shortstop you wouldn't believe. There's guys like that all over the sport.
Yeah, it's crazy now.
But yeah, this is a fun time. Watch a Reds game if you get the chance.
Yep, we got to run, Mitch.
Hi, guys. Wario, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Let's get to Jerry. Before we have to get to our final break. Hey, Jerry, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a pretty good player named Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the great young talent. Ronald Acuña is probably – Shohei's the only player who anybody would dare say is better than Ronald Acuña right now.
Yeah, I mean, Shohei's like the reincarnation of Babe Ruth.
He's like the healthy reincarnation of Babe Ruth.
But Acuña can throw the
ball. Oh, he's a tremendous defensive player. Is he leading the majors in steals, I believe?
Acuña, yeah. And I mean, I think that things could get tighter between Acuña and Freddie Freeman for NL MVP. Their numbers are not. Freddie's having an incredible, and the Dodgers are pounding people into mush right now, just like they seem to do every August and September. So I think that at the end of the season, Freddie versus Ronald for MVP could be a pretty interesting argument. Right now, I'd probably give the edge to Acuña, but Freddie Freeman closing strong as he usually does. And I keep wondering, Bill, if as we get closer, when's free agency for Acuña? Is it? It's like I think he's got a
two
contract.
Or 3 years.
I think he's got
five years.
Well, I think it's three more years, but then there's two team option years. So it's like really 5 years. Yeah. And I do wonder if we, as we get closer to it, if it'll become a bigger story, or if Acuña is going to want, if he's going to angle for a bigger contract.
He gave the Braves an unbelievable deal. I mean, he took a lot less than he could have gotten.
And has since replaced representation. Since making that deal.
He and Ozzy, I believe, both did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both did, and they will get more.
Oh, no question.
And I would hope that sooner rather than later, the Braves would tear up the current deal and give Acuña one that gives him a chance to finish his career as a Brave. Like I'd say, you know what, rip up the team friendly deal and give him one that's 12 or 14 years. You know, at something more commensurate, just to avoid the chance of him being bitter and angry about his situation as he gets closer to free agency. Like, I would think that's the kind of player where, yeah, you know, I know what the normal rules of engagement are. I would do everything I can to keep him in Atlanta for the rest of his career.
He will be. They'll give him whatever he wants.
I hope is the mood in the front office. I agree.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought about Freddie.
He's
a 5'2".
Oh, no question.
I think, Jerry, we're up against our final break. Appreciate it, man.
Need to get to that final break. Stick with us as we continue here on the Thursday Drive.
Hey, guys, this is Tyler Reynolds with Reynolds Outdoors in Opelika.